Kaminsky had it, lost it. Eisenman picks it up. Eisenman moving. Blue line chance. Steve Eisenman!
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Puck Puck Pass, and these are your hosts, the hockey know-it-alls, KJ and Zach Mack.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Puck Puck Pass, everyone's favorite hockey podcast. Make sure you tell your friends we are back for the season. As always, I'm your host, KJ, joined by my wonderful and lovely, feels like long-lost co-host, Zach Mack. Dude, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, man. I was going to say, it feels like it's been forever, and boy, I don't have to say I miss hockey, but it does feel like it feels like it's been forever, but it also feels sitting here like it was just yesterday that we were doing this.
So, well, that leads me to my next point, but I do want to say I hopped on my laptop, started to type in our hosting site, and forgot for like probably 30 seconds. I'm so embarrassed. And we record on Zencastr. They're lifesavers. If you're recording like a remote podcast, like I'm on the East Coast, Zach's down in the South, we have to do it somewhere. And Zencastr has been awesome. So I highly recommend it. If you want to start your own podcast, use Zencastr. It's so, so easy. But I'm glad I remembered it, 'cause I'm so glad to be back right now. Not full on fall yet, but we have had a couple cooler, rainier days lately that kind of get me like, oh, October's not that far off. Like, we're getting there.
Yeah. You got to send some of that weather to me, man, because I don't have it yet. And I'm stuck. I'm still watching highlights to get over it.
Well, if you're watching highlights, you're probably on YouTube. And for you listeners out there that spend some time on YouTube, we've put out so much stuff, like so much content. Not just us, but we do Belly Up Sound Off as well. If you follow the podcast, you follow us on Twitter, you've seen that. But we did our divisional preview for each individual division, one episode each. It's really, really good stuff. I not to toot our own horn, but I think we killed that one. It was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah. And you mentioned Sound Off. That's cool, too. I mean, you and I are on there quite a bit, so definitely check that out. You guys will find us there. We try to sneak in hockey tidbits every now and then when we can, but it mostly gets dominated by smaller sports, if that's your interest.
Smaller sports.
We also got Instagram that we just jump-started for this season, so we're looking to build that, and you guys can find a lot of our videos there.
Yes, and what he meant to say was we're on Instagram at PuckPuckPass.
Yeah. What did I say? I don't even know what I said.
You didn't say the link. You didn't give the link. You just said we're on Instagram.
Sorry.
Yeah. But Puck Puck Pass probably would have been the first guess, and you would have been right. So we did. Oh, our top forwards list, our wingers and centers. Yes. Those were,
yeah, they're on there.
Controversial to say the least. But you can find those on Instagram as well. A lot of good stuff coming, and this is just the beginning. Kind of end of summer stuff. The season is where the meat of this content's coming. It's going to be a lot of fun. So those of you that, you know, stuck around and hung out with us throughout the summer, we thank you so much. If you only listen to the podcast, but you need more, Zach Mack hot takes, you can check us out all over social media. So stick around. Tell your friends, obviously. We've got good stuff coming. We've got good stuff coming this episode, man. I'm excited. Let's jump right into it.
Let's do it.
Been a pretty wild summer, to say the least. Not in the sense of like monster trades or blockbuster deals, but tides have really shifted in quite a few divisions, and really kind of the two best in some people's minds would be the Central and the Metro. And we have a few things to talk about. So we'll start in the Central. You and I have very different opinions on the Central Division. Why don't you go over like where your top two, and then where you have the team I know you know I'm talking about.
Yes. So this, you said Central, right? That's where we're starting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got, when I want to talk about this too, 'cause this is one of the things I wanted to bring up, the whole Line A thing that's going on right now. I'm sure you saw it today.
Oh my God. Yeah. When
he said the, talks were not even existent on the extension. I had at the time when we did it, Winnipeg winning the division. I'm a little bit more skeptical about it, just a little bit, not enough to move them off yet. But my main point is I think this whole Line A thing is going to get overblown. It's going to get over-exaggerated. He says they're non-existent, and I think a lot of people are going to automatically jump to there's tensions between Line A and Winnipeg. And I wouldn't be surprised to come out and find out, you know, season ends, Line A has a great season, and boom, there's an extension. I'm not completely sold that he wants out of Winnipeg yet. I think that the whole non-existent, just they just don't want to deal with it yet. And I'm curious, because I heard about this today, and I haven't talked to you about it, and I want to know what your thoughts were.
Well, I think it's something that'll get overblown, but still get a good amount of coverage, strictly because Line A speaks his mind. He's one of the very few, especially European players, that speak up and speak out. And sometimes it's about real menial stuff, like Fortnite and just gaming on the road. But he's spoken his mind quite a bit in his young career. I want to hope it's a non-story, because I have, so you have him winning the division. I have him second from the bottom.
Yeah.
If I don't have my list in front of me, but I think I have him like sixth.
You do.
So sixth out of seven in the Central. And I want that team to be good. I really like Patrick Laine. I love Blake Wheeler, but I think it might actually be a legitimate issue with him in the organization, or him with the locker room, whichever it may be. One of those things is forcing Winnipeg to kind of show that we don't have to re-sign you. Like, show that you want to be here, or we can get you out of here.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's I feel like this could end up being like a, we both have a hot take on either side of the spectrum. Winnipeg might be like finished three or four, and I just had him too high, and you had him too low. I don't know.
Yeah, it's right in the middle there.
Yeah.
Still make the playoffs somehow. Yeah.
But the team you had at the top that I had towards the bottom is Dallas. And I want to hear a little bit more of how you feel about Dallas this year.
I just think Dallas is so, every year, like if you just looked on paper and you couldn't look at their previous season, you'd say, oh, well, this team is a lock for at least the Western Conference Finals. They're offensively, they're still one of the best teams. They always had a little bit of trouble with their bottom pairing defensemen for sure, and goaltending. But Ben Bishop this previous season really picked it up, runner up in the Vezina voting. I think if they can keep it together, you add Joe Pavelski. Yes, you lose Matt Zuccarello, but you barely had him last year, so that, I'm not really counting that as a negative for Dallas. I think Tyler Seguin has a career year, and they're going to challenge Colorado, I think, a lot for the top of the division. But I was blown away at where you had them in the Central, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not completely sold on Dallas, but I will say, and I had them very close to, like, I had one through, or I can't remember now. I'm pretty sure I explained it in the YouTube video, but I think I had like three through six very close to each other. But I will say a few things Dallas got going for them is they got, like you said, Sagan, Ben, they got players that are in their prime that can have a career season at this point in their career. And they've also got, we saw last year where their CEO, like, so who hears about a hockey CEO and he comes out and he says something about his star players, and all of a sudden they play better. So they do have this thing where you know how to spark them, and it's a weird that it had to come from the CEO, but maybe other people picked up on it, and now they can internally spark their team whenever they need to, and that's promising. So
you know what it is, you just reminded me, and you look at Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn, and some would say Jonathan Klingberg, this team is too good looking. So they've always had everything handed to them, and they just need to be reminded. They need a little bit of a kick in the ass to be reminded that they're superstars, but they have to earn it. But I do like your point. Like, you know how to spark them.
Yeah, and so it may have been a little bit of a hot take for me. I wouldn't be surprised if they're a little bit higher in the division, but that division just got so good.
I think it's easy to forget with how good they are offensively that they've got two of the best young defensemen in the league.
Yeah.
With Miro Heiskanen and Jonathan Klingberg. And you get Rupa Hintz making big plays for them. Like, if they can, but I don't, you're right in the sense that it's hard to believe in a team where everything has to be right all the time, because then as soon as one thing goes wrong, they could be a cellar dweller. So you never know with teams like Dallas. So that You raised a good point. I could never put them that low. Maybe it's because I like them. But
how about the team that we both had near the top, Colorado? Do you think there's any doubt in your mind that they'll be at the top, or are they figured out?
No, there's no doubt in my mind. Okay. If they don't win the division, they come in second by 1 point.
Okay. Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, I don't have very many counterpoints. I think they put it all together for a full season this year, and they're right there. I have them at two, so and obviously Winnipeg at one might be a stretch, so they very well could win the division.
Yeah, and that the addition of, with your Twitter blunt moments, those short little videos that Zach's been doing on Twitter, you brought up Burakovsky and Kadri and guys like that. So Colorado's in a good spot. In the East, there's really good teams in the Atlantic. But it seems like a lot of times the must-watch division in the East is the Metro. And there's going to be a must-watch team, and it's your very own New Jersey Devils. They got really good really fast.
Yeah, and they got – I had them low, but they got better since we did our preview. I mean, they signed Gusev, it doesn't automatically add wins to your schedule, but it's still a good solid player that it makes them better. Probably better than where I had them. So yours was probably a little bit better. At least your preview ranking of them. What are you most excited to watch about the Devils?
I think I'm most excited to see Taylor Hall back 100% and just flying around the ice, because he kind of went from one of the most disrespected to one of the most underrated to one of the fan favorite players. And I don't like underrated. He wasn't underrated for very long. He wasn't like Sasha Barkov in Florida, but everything went so wrong for him in Edmonton that it's exciting to see him like really love to, and this is such a hockey answer, but like really love to play hockey again. And I think he found that in New Jersey with a little less pressure, obviously, than there is in Edmonton. And with these new players, with Gusev, if they find themselves playing together, and obviously Jack Hughes, the number one overall pick, you throw in a personality like PK Subban, and I think it's a recipe for immediate success.
Yeah, and you listed things off about Hall, you know, being disrespected. I would even throw Forgotten in there. I mean, he played part of his career in Edmonton.
Yeah,
he got hurt.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
I think he's a very under the radar player. A lot of people that don't follow every second of the offseason probably don't even have Hall on their radar yet. So I think that is going to be, like you said, paired with Jack Hughes, that was my biggest thing. Like, who better for Jack Hughes to learn from than somebody who's not in the spotlight but can also teach him at the same time? It just seems like a perfect situation for Hughes.
Yeah, I mean, I think he can learn how to be in the spotlight from PK Subban and how to perform whether or not the spotlight's on you.
Yeah, yes.
I think now goaltending is still an issue, but we could do a whole episode on Corey Schneider's inconsistency.
Yeah.
But other than that, I have a lot of hope for the Devils. I had them third behind the Pens and Capitals, obviously. Let's move on. Do you have anything else about the Metro? It really stayed the same-ish.
I mean, New Jersey did a lot in the offseason, but...
Oh, and the Rangers.
Yeah, obviously. And they got Kako and Chuba, yeah, but... No, I don't know.
So like 50 square miles in the Eastern Conference. Let's move up to the front office. We got a couple big bosses making news this week. Jim Benning, real quick, he got a contract extension. And you said, I mean, you, not to speak for you, but you said you don't really have a ton on Jim Benning, like nothing really sparks an interest, but this guy like sucked for quite a while, and he's made a couple good moves, and Elias Pettersson is very good, obviously, and you know, the Brock Besser situation, handling that, like, it's, he's usually bad, sometimes good. That doesn't really seem like the type of guy who usually gets a contract extension.
Yeah, because pretty much what you just said, he was bad for a while, but he's made some recently good moves. You mentioned Pettersson, and the Besser situation. So I don't hate them giving him an extension and just a few more years to prove what he can do. But I think you alluded to the fact that you had a little bit of a problem with him. I'm curious to hear what your opinion on the guy is.
Well, for one, he's like your typical Canadian. The only way to play hockey is to beat the shit out of someone. But he just, like, he's constantly made bad decisions and held the, and to be honest, I didn't write down a list of reasons, because the one that I'll like, and there are multiple people involved in this, but I always felt bad for the Sedins. And now I feel like we're looking at Besser Pedersen as like two guys who are going to be stuck in Edmonton with no support because
Vancouver.
What did I say?
Edmonton.
Well, yeah, because everyone's stuck in Edmonton with no support. I don't know. He seems like a guy that could trap a really good team.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want that for you talk about forgotten. I mean, Vancouver might as well not even be in the West some years. So, but I have high hopes for them this year. So hopefully this doesn't affect anything and Benning continues. He's on a good streak right now. So hopefully he continues that.
Yeah.
And Craig Leopold, you brought this up. I'll let you start with this. Craig Leopold, Minnesota Wild GM, he had some things to say.
Yeah, so this is why I chuckled when you said it was a wild summer. They let go of their GM.
Paul Fenton.
And then, Paul Fenton. And the funny thing to me was that he does the draft, he does the offseason, free agency, and then they get rid of him. So the timing is like, why? And moreover, the owner is like, he comes out and says, you know, this is on me. I made a poor decision hiring this guy. It's just a bad, like, which obviously looks bad for Fenton now if he's trying to get another job. But my biggest thing is why are you taking responsibility for the bad hire and never mentioning the timing of the firing? Like, that is so confusing to me.
That is weird that you're already burying Paul Fenton. So why don't you just throw in there, I should have gotten rid of him before the draft. Seems like if you're going to go that far, finish the job. And it's weird. And like, obviously, the burden falls on him no matter what. So you don't have to come out and say it. Part of me feels like this is one of those, like, I want to be transparent with the fans so they keep the faith with me.
Yeah.
And this seems like one of those moves, like, oh, well, he admitted it, so I do forgive him for destroying the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, it's a good point. Maybe people don't question the timing of the firing because it's a distraction tactic, you know? Hey, I'll own up for the hiring if y'all don't ever mention the timing of the firing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when an NBA player gets ejected and then one of their teammates misses a game-winning shot. Like, that takes some of the pressure away from either side, either the ejection or the missed shot. So
exactly.
Things like that, I mean, sometimes they work. So maybe, you know, maybe we forget the Wild let a madman loose on their free agency season.
Yeah, either way, I mean, their next season is, I'm writing it off as a loss regardless.
Why not waste another year of pre-season?
Are they going to go full rebuild, or are they going to try and build around what they have?
I don't think they have a choice. I think they have to go full rebuild. I mean, if they decide on that quickly, I mean, Dumba's going to get a return. You could ship Parise off to like Ottawa. So they can hit their cap floor. Ryan Suter, player GM. I mean, just things like that. Like, they're going to go in a full rebuild, and it's going to be ugly. And it'll guarantee that the Blackhawks never finish last in the division.
So this is kind of an impromptu here, but I've got a question for you. If they come trade deadline time, and obviously Minnesota should be sellers unless something crazy happens, could we see one or two of those guys, like you mentioned, Suter, Parise, on a contender come the second half of the season? And if so, who would be the best teams for them?
Oh, man.
I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot.
No, yeah, and it's only a hard answer because I would honestly just have to go to Cat Friendly and look at the three teams that could maybe afford one of those guys. I mean, it's really what it's come down to, because especially when you say contender, there's not going to be very many contenders. You know, maybe the Devils. You know, maybe Parise finds himself back in New Jersey. That's really the only thing I can.
That would be scary imagine. If New Jersey adds another piece.
Yeah. And he would definitely only have it might be his last season if something like that happens, but I don't see a team being able to afford either one of those guys. That's really will be in a position to make a cup run, not at the trade deadline, at least. Let's continue on with bad teams.
Okay.
But good decisions. The Buffalo Sabres released their 50th anniversary jerseys. They are pretty, pretty slick. Have you seen them yet?
I have seen them. I want to know, because there's a lot of uproar about the white gloves. How do you feel about white gloves?
I mean, listen, there's two. No, there's one person that can wear white gloves. It's an NHL player. If you come into the beer league game or the rec game or even the high school, like, you don't get to wear white gloves until you've been drafted or signed by an NHL team. In the NHL, it's totally fine. Like, I don't have a problem with, because didn't the Red Wings wear white gloves when they had a terrible jersey? But I'm pretty sure they wore white gloves and they looked pretty good.
Yeah, I think they had white gloves. It was like an alternate jersey or something like that. But
yeah, I don't have an issue with white gloves. I think it's a lot of gold, but just barely, not too much.
Are we salty? Did you see the Golden Knights?
Oh, shut up. Yeah. I knew. God. And dude, but the hilarious thing was how serious people took that tweet. It was the Golden Knights basically tweeted out, like, we were first with the gold, which obviously other teams have had gold, which so many people took the time to point out and, like, link the jerseys on, like, the NHL shop website to the tweet. Like, it was just so... Vegas's social media team can't catch a break. I think that's...
Are the Sabres wearing those jerseys all season, or are they like an alternate situation?
I'm pretty sure they wear them all season. Like, that's their home jersey. Because the Flyers just did it a couple years ago. I think someone else did, too.
And it normally is Buffalo games.
Yeah, they're pretty good luck. What, are you going to go to Buffalo? I think that's it for the summer. I mean, there's a lot. We've already talked about free agency and everything on our last episode. The divisional previews covered a lot of stuff. So really, the only thing I need from you for the summer in this episode is one of your boldest preseason predictions. Doesn't have to be a cup contender or who's going to make the playoffs or anything like that. Just something crazy that has a possibility of happening.
All right, I'm gonna go a little biased here and stick with my Red Wings, and I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that Athanasiou is a 40 goal scorer this year.
Okay,
he got 30 last year, right on the nose, so he's got to add 10 to that. But maybe part of it's hoping, but I think he's just getting better, and he's got a little bit of an attitude problem, but it's not excessive at this point. It's not anything to be alarmed about, but I think he can put it together on the ice.
Yeah, and you raise a good point, though, because if he scores 40 goals, he'll probably have 20 by the trade deadline, and then he can score a second 20 on a cup contender.
Okay.
So it'll really all come...
Yeah, sure, that would hurt even more, but yeah.
No, I do like that prediction, though, because it's not impossible, but it's a lofty goal. Mine is also about goals. Tyler Seguin is going to win the Rocket Richard.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, he's always been he's always been a high volume goal scorer. He's scored a lot more goals than people think. I talked about it when we talked about the Central Division. I think they're going to be rip roaring, ready to go, and a very good team that scores a lot of goals.
Yeah, that would be. I would like to see that, because I know you like Tyler Seguin. I love to watch Tyler Seguin when he's on fire. So if he's putting up the goals to win the Rocket Richard, he's going to be watchable every single night. And not only is that good for Dallas, it's good for the NHL. They've also got that, you could call it Winter Classic. I don't know if it'll be winter down in Texas, but...
the Winter Classic.
Yeah, they'll be playing Nashville. So you're right. If the time to shine is now. So that's it's whether or not Tyler Seguin will step up to it. That's a bold take. I like it. I'm gonna keep my eye on it.
Now that I say that, though, Jamie Benn's going to win the Rocket Richard.
They're just going to battle each other for the Rocket Richard.
Yeah. All right. It's game time. not literally, it's not hockey season yet, but it's time for another Puck Pass game. I love bringing these onto the podcast. This isn't really a win or lose game. I kind of alluded to that off air. It's just a word association game.
Okay.
And I'm going to name 10 stars in today. And I just want, I don't want to do one word because I don't want to do that justice. Or I don't want to, Let's do two words, two adjectives, or however you want to do it, words that come up when you hear these guys' names. They don't have to make sense, like is good,
okay. Yeah, I hear you.
Know, doesn't score. It could be any two words that, like, goals and hits or something like that. And we're gonna do it for 10 stars. So we'll start with the obvious one, Connor McDavid.
Fast, bored.
Oh, I like that. Sidney Crosby.
Oh, good and annoying.
Wow, I really hate you for that. I like this one. Nikita Kucherov. Ooh.
Great. Am I allowed to expand on my, like?
If you want to expand, yeah. Well, starting now, you can expand.
Okay, overrated. And I don't want to say like he's vastly overrated. When I say that, he's slightly overrated, and I want to see from him is great games against great teams.
Yeah. So if you had more words, you could have said like plays on a great team.
Yeah. Great, great team.
Yeah. I like that. This should be interesting. One Patrick Kane.
Oh. Fun. Wish he was on a different team.
Okay.
And I say that for
all one word, but yeah.
I say that for my sake and kind of his. Not because I hate the Blackhawks, but because I either want to see him successful with the Blackhawks or I just want to see him successful in general.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. I mean, this one's probably pretty obvious. Alex Ovechkin.
Dynamite. Scary. Is the one guy in the NHL I wouldn't want to face.
I like that. I bet you that's a lot of people's answers, too. I know that's Andrei Svechnikov's answer. Nathan McKinnon.
Electric.
You were ready for that one. And you're right. He's one of the most fun players to watch. Is he your favorite player to watch?
Yes. Based off last season. I mean, that could change halfway through the season, but yeah, right now, before the season starts, yeah.
Nice. Austin Matthews.
God, this one stumps me, man. I like Austin Matthews. Okay, my two words. God, I don't even know how to put two words on Austin Matthews. I want to like him. That's my, yeah. I'm not sold on him yet, but I'm not. Yeah, I want to like him.
I'll accept those as two statements because that seems to be a fairly common. Like you either love him, want to like him, or hate him. Yeah. Like there's no like I just kind of like him. He's a very polarizing player. He's so good. He's so much better than people think he is.
He's got loyal fans that annoy me.
I'm probably one of them. I just think he's so good. And we'll see a lot of that this season. Sticking with the Maple Leafs, one John Tavares.
Traitor. Leader.
Nice. Okay, you got to expand on that.
Okay.
Traitor and leader with Benedict Arnold.
It's the first thing that popped in my head. I think he's a great leader for the young Leafs team, and I think that's exactly what they needed. I just hate that. I hate what he did to the Islanders. I'm probably over exaggerating it, to be honest. But
well, so are the Islanders fans. So
yeah, cool. And I just want to empathize with them.
That's fair. It's soft, but it's fair.
Yeah, it is soft.
Let's go between the pipes. Andrei Vasilevskiy.
Great. I would use for him. And backbone.
And more than people think.
Because he's... I wouldn't give him the same like great on a great team like I did Kucherov. I think he means a lot more to that team than Kucherov does.
I think you're absolutely right. Let's stay in the crease. The last one, same state, actually. Sergei Bobrovsky.
Nice. I was hoping he was on here. I'm a huge fan. I love him. And hopeful. I want him to absolutely kill it in Florida.
Don't know why. I like how you, those last two answers for you were kind of like you were explaining the word to like a child. But yeah, no, I'm with you. I have the same answer for a lot of these, actually. I didn't play the game myself, but every time you said a word, I mostly agreed with you. But Bobrovsky, I think he's going to have a hell of a season in Florida.
Am I allowed to do this back to you? I don't have a list, but I got a couple that I could
tell
you.
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. First one, Jonathan Toews.
Greatest ever, but by that I mean captain.
Okay. Like history or?
He's the greatest captain to ever play hockey, yeah. That's okay. A very unpopular opinion, but.
Yeah, I don't want to argue with it. This podcast turned into 2 hours. all right, next one. Braden Holtby.
Still breathing, even though it doesn't look like it.
I had to throw him in there. I wanted to hear what two words you're going to come up with.
I should have said heart monitor, but still breathing popped into my head first.
That's funny. And then last one is Jordan Binnington.
Step back, but only this year.
James Harden? Yeah, okay. You've said that all offseason, pretty much.
Yeah, I said it when we talked about that. I had them low in the Central this year, but this is the furthest he'll ever be from a Vezina, and he'll probably win three in his career. So
okay, that's good. Yeah, sorry, I didn't have a huge list, but I just wanted to throw a few at you.
No, yeah, that's fine. That's a fun game. We'll call that two-word association, and that will probably make another appearance in a Puck Pass episode this season. Any other topic? This is a shorter podcast this week, just kind of getting back in the swing of things. Like I said, I forgot the hosting site at first, so it's good to just be back in the quote-unquote studio. Any other storylines that you want to touch on?
I got a couple. We released you mentioned earlier, our top 20 wingers and top 20 centers, and we kind of released it we didn't do a video or anything like that. We didn't discuss anything. So I kind of wanted to ask you a couple questions, if you're okay with that, about where you got.
I'm okay with that. I'm pulling them up right now. So okay, cool. Give them a little background real quick.
Okay. So NHL Network released top 20 centers and then top 20 wingers the week after. So we got on board. We did our own. Because we felt like they purposely released some questionable lists. So we decided to put our own together, put them up on Instagram, check that out. I believe they're on Twitter as well. But we had a couple differing lists. So one I wanted to ask you about was, and we kind of already brushed up on him, was Patrick Laine. So you slid him in at 13 on your top 20 wingers. I had him at 5. I know a lot of people have issues with Laine and think that he's probably not even top 20, but why for you is Laine not in the top 10?
Well, I'll tell you, it might be easier to just describe. The only reason I would have him as high as you do is because there is that possibility that he scores like 60 goals.
Okay.
He's an incredibly talented goal scorer. But I think the second you become a problem in the locker room, which he has the potential to be, people know who they're passing to. People know, you know, who to protect, who to kind of advise. And he's still a young player. He still needs to mature a little bit. And we're seeing that with this, maybe. One too many question marks for me to make him a top 10 winger.
Okay, that's fair. The other one I wanted to ask you about is, on your centers list, you've got Evgeny Kuznetsov at 9, top 10. I don't have him on my list. I think he's so much a good player on a great team that I didn't have him top 20. And I'm wondering what for you has him top 10, or why'd you choose to put him in top 10? Am I being too hard on him?
Well, I think something that maybe people forget is Nicholas Backstrom is probably the greatest Swedish center of all time and one of the greatest Swedish players of all time. And Evgeny Kuznetsov took 40 games into his best season to kind of root him out of his first line center position, and has arguably made – now, in today's NHL, we're seeing an Alex Ovechkin resurgence. And I think a lot of that has to do with Evgeny Kuznetsov. Okay. All time, obviously, he's not better than Nicholas Backstrom. But and I had Nicholas Backstrom at 17 on the list, because he's still that good. To take a stride ahead of Backstrom like that, I think is way more impressive than people realize.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, because we never talked, and I never had an explanation on that.
Well, and it's weird because Kuznetsov's one of those, like, we all have players that we have irrational opinions about.
Yep.
And Kuznetsov kind of became one after one of those for me, where like I just always am rooting for him, because Nicholas Backstrom like said they felt like they lost the Pittsburgh series after game 3. You know, this was after game 7. Right. So little comments like that, I'm like, well, if Kuznetsov gets on that top line, one, he's not going to say dumb shit like that. Two, he's going to continue to be the type of player that helps Alex Ovechkin excel, sure, especially in his pocket. So I'm a Kuznetsov fan, but I also think it's a fair spot to have him.
Yeah.
Not on the list. That's interesting. Who was the toughest guy to leave off your list?
For center or winger?
Center, sorry.
Man, I had a couple that were tough. It was tough for me to leave Duchesne off the list, because I really think that he's been, for lack of a better word, screwed throughout his career. I know he doesn't have the best attitude, but he's a great hockey player.
And just for reference, and I'm not throwing you under the bus, but just for reference, you have Dylan Larkin at 20.
Yeah. So it was, I think we talked about just a tad on Twitter, but I had a lot of people on my bubble, and I just threw Larkin in there for bias, because I'm a Red Wing fan, and I knew for a fact I wasn't going to have one on my top 20 wingers list, so I had to put one somewhere. Zibanejad was tough to leave off. Duchesne was the toughest for me, I think. I also, part of me wanted to throw Barzal on there too, but Duchesne was the toughest.
So you also don't have Nicholas Backstrom on your list. I just realized that.
Yeah. Also, a little bit of bias for those of you. Many of you know I have beef with
The Capitals.
I have beef with the Capitals. I will not use Capitals in my tweets whenever I possibly can. They blocked me on Twitter. Old story. But yes, I kind of threw him in the same group as Kuznetsov. He was right there on the bubble, but I couldn't. I understand that, you know, Ovechkin isn't Ovechkin without the centers that he's got, but that deep rooted hatred. I don't want to call it hatred. It's not hatred, but
it's confusion, because you really don't know what you did.
Yeah, and I just want an explanation. That's all I want. Maybe one day I'll get it.
I just want it. I think that's it. We've got some pretty big news.
Yeah, let's hear the news. I'm ready for the news.
You're going to have to wait.
Oh, man.
We got to wait till next week. Maybe by the time you hear this, we've announced it. But a lot of really, really cool stuff. I said it early in the episode. It's hard not to be as excited as we are. We started setting this stuff up, and I was literally getting chills. Like, it's happening really quickly, and it's all really good things. And we're so happy that you guys want to be a part of it. And like I said, seriously, tell everybody you know, this is definitely the podcast that you're going to want to keep listening to. We're trying to, you know, make sure if you're subscribed, we love that. Make sure you leave a review. That helps us out a lot on iTunes. But yeah, stick around. If you hear this by Monday, that's when it's coming. Really, really exciting stuff.
Let's I'm sorry. Were you about to say something?
I was going to say what you were about to say. We need we needed the adopted Puck Pass team, because there's actually quite a bit of a big rivalry between our two favorite teams with the Red Wings and Blackhawks that we don't really touch on as much as people might think. But we're not going to pick one of those teams. And I think the answer is pretty obvious.
Yeah. So the Vegas Golden Knights, you've been a fan longer than I have, but I'm coming around. They're an exciting team. I think they'd be a fun team for us to kind of follow along with in the upcoming season.
Well, we're a young podcast. They're a young team. In the grand scheme of things, we really belong together. And they'll be appreciative. You know, they probably already know. They probably just assumed, like all the past guys. They're literally mentioning us all throughout the playoffs. So they obviously, you know, we're their team.
And they haven't blocked either of us yet, so that's a plus for them.
That's always a good thing. Yeah, that's for any hockey social media interns out there, don't block us. We really are just fans. We really are just fans. But the next step, obviously, once you adopt a podcast team, you got to go out and get some merch. So where are you getting your first Vegas shirt from?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't live in Vegas, so I have got to probably go online shopping somewhere, and I don't know. You got any suggestions?
I do. It's funny you mention online shopping, because you can head over to www.hockeyworld.com. Piranha's Hockey World, our presenting sponsor. We are so grateful to have them be a part of everything we do here at Puck Pass. They have some incredible deals going on right now, including a Vegas Golden Knights t-shirt for $15. That's like $10 off.
That is perfect.
It is $10 off. And if you need new gear for the upcoming season, they have the best of the best. Even the Easton Stealth C9.0 hockey gloves. I mean, those are half off. Half off. Wow. Less than $65 before tax. I mean, they've got the best deals, the best products, and the best people. And now they're part of the best hockey podcast. So we're very excited. But if you already have your Vegas shirt and you need another one, make sure you go check out our store, bellyupsports.com. Click on the shop tab and you can find the Belly Up Babes line. It's new. There's some hockey shirts included in that. My wife, who you heard on the intro, was a big part of creating that. So I'm really proud of her. I'm really glad that came to fruition. And dude, I gotta be honest, those shirts look pretty cool.
Right. And I mean, you and I can both speak to this. The best way to get your significant other into hockey is get them some hockey apparel.
It's really the only first step there is to getting them to like, because hockey is just comfortable. It's like a hoodie. It's wintry gear and they're comfortable. They need to cuddle. It's all hockey gear does magical things for your relationship. Absolutely. I mean, what are you going to put a football helmet on her? Come on. So please go check out the Babes line, bellyupsports.com. Click on the shop tab and you can find it all there. Dude, I'm so glad we're back.
I'm glad too, man. This is going to be so much. This is going to be the greatest season ever until the following season.
Yeah. Every new season is the greatest season ever. And we're here to make sure you feel the exact same way. If you guys don't follow us on Twitter yet, bear with me at BellyUpKJ, at BellyUpZachMack, at PuckPuckPassPod, and at BellyUpNHL.
Hockey, I think.
Did we change it?
It is. Yeah, it's BellyUpHockey, I believe.
BellyUpHockey. And come check it all out. It's more than just us. Like, there's a real big hockey department here at BellyUp Sports. We have some uber talented writers. Jacqueline's got the best Maple Leafs articles out right now, including one about Austin Matthews fashion, which
that's a great one.
That was a must read. We're on Instagram at PuckPuckPass. Make sure to go check out the YouTube. Just search Belly Up Sports on YouTube and you can find us there.
Let's leave it how we always leave it. What are you watching this week? I know we got about almost exactly a month until preseason hockey, but there's preseason football on. Is there anything? Are you watching that? Or what are you watching this weekend?
I will watch preseason football because it's a sport that's not baseball, and I can just kind of turn it on at least in the background.
Okay.
Like, and kind of and look up every once in a while, like touchdowns. I can't really get into football like I could when I was a kid. Like, I watch football for the entertainment value. I don't really even have a team.
Yeah. I'm the same way. And I'm not doing, at least I'm not signed up yet. I think I'm going to hold off on fantasy football this year. So, as much as I usually pay attention to the preseason, I'm not this year. I might throw it on, like you said, have it on, just because there's not much else going on other than baseball. But, there's nothing crazy I'm watching. I'm so excited for hockey, man.
I know. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And it goes through Christmas, so I'm allowed to say that. sorry there was no 90-second rant today. I'm just in too good of a mood. I know you guys look forward to me yelling over Zach for 2.5 minutes.
I'm so proud of you.
Hey, for Belly Up Sports, for Puck Puck Pass, for Belly Up Zach Mack, I'm KJ. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Good night.
saw no light. We saw no signal.
Be sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at Gearholtz underscore K, at BellyUpZachMac, and at PuckPuckPassPod.